Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk, your host for this podcast conversation. I'm delighted to introduce Yamandau Djangjouf from the Gambia. Djangjouf comes from the Gambia in West Africa, which is the smallest country in mainland Africa. She has been a police officer in the Gambia Police Force since 1983, the very first female officer to head the Gender and Child Protection Unit. Djangjouf has served as a peacekeeper in Liberia and Sudan. She is frequently interviewed on radio and television on public debates on women's rights. For her protection of Gambian women and children, she received the Medal of the National Order of the Republic of the Gambia. So welcome to our conversation, Djangjouf.
Thank you.
You have now spent more than 30 years in the security sector in your country, the Gambia. How and why did that activism or that need to provide protection, how did that start for you?
It started way back in the late 70s when I became a survivor of sexual and gender-based violence. From there, I think of myself to say, being in a community whom you trust and supposed to protect you are doing things against your will because of your vulnerability physically and emotionally, then I decided to join the structure that works directly and control the internal protection of women and girls in the country. This is my story.
Were you accepted quickly and easily as a police officer?
Yes, because I joined the Gambia Police Force at a time that they need female officers to join the force in order to be able to stand strong and show people that because of the culture and tradition, that women also can be security officers.
Ah, that's excellent to know. So what is life like in the Gambia generally for women and girls?
Okay, you know, if you talk about the religion, that is the Islamic religion, culture and tradition, women are known to be housewives and they should be very submissive to their husbands. And there is a lot that, you know, Muslim women are prohibited of doing, that their voice should not be raised up. They have to be very submissive and acceptance to whatever their parents and husband are doing, it which I call command and control. Going through which, during that time in the early 80s, many of the girl children are denied of going to school because parents would say it's a waste of time, waste of resources, because one day the girl would get married, it's better to educate a boy child. Then I said, educating a boy is educating an individual. Educating a girl is educating a nation.
Mm-hmm. And do you see that happening, that there is education of girls now? I mean, you are a Muslim. You were able to join the police force. But are you seeing that the education is finally coming to women?
Right now, education has finally come to women.
Good.
We have more girls going to school because it's free education for girls at primary to secondary level.
Mm-hmm.
And you see more young girls, they are eager to be outspoken, to be seen as heroes like men.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all call us princes, queens, to discourage us. But we march forward to be heroes like them. And we are in a competitive world and we are competing them with our strength, knowledge and togetherness.
That is a wonderful statement to hear that. Now, you received the Medal of the National Order of the Republic of the Gambia, which I feel is a very, very prominent award to receive. And that was because of your protection of Gambian women and children. What exactly were you required to do?
You know, in the African community, we have so many cultural norms and value.
Mm-hmm.
We have this culture of silence.
Mm-hmm.
So breaking that culture of silence, coming out to talk about children's right, it's always confused them. Those a child have a right.
Mm.
But I localize it to their level. As a man and a woman, you get a child. You want to give that child a very beautiful name with his or her right. You want to bring up that child in an environment very safe and secured. That is her right. That is his or her right. And you want that child to be a role model.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you bring that child to be a role model if you don't educate that child, give him knowledge, give him skill, and maintenance his or her attitude?
So it starts with the child.
It starts with the child. Mm-hmm. I always talk about the child.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that you brought up the child, then you will get a girl.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you brought a girl is the way that you will have the woman. And if you have the woman the perfect way that you want her to be, by giving him knowledge, skill, and a good attitude that it could be recognized throughout the whole world, you have the heroine that you need.
Oh, that's a wonderful way of putting it. I love your language, and I always love to hear how you describe your own people and the elements of life. And that leads me to another question. I understand that FGM, female genital mutilation, has had a law passed in the Gambia. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, you know about FGM. It all started. It's a culture that we think give us pride, beauty, and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
I am among those who believe in it. Because during the time that they are doing FGM on us, they give us the belief and we really believe it within our context.
Mm-hmm.
Later, as we are educated and we have doctors and nurses, we came to know that it contributes towards our disadvantage when it comes to health complications.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because of that, we have two giant women who fought tirelessly under their umbrella and an NGO called GAMCO TRAP, which is Dr. Aissatou Touré and Mrs. Ami Bojang Sisoho, who are now actively working with the New Gambia. Dr. Aissatou Touré is now the Minister of Trade,
mm-hmm.
and Ami Bojang is working in the government. I cannot say in which department, but because of the ambition and their braveness, they were put to jail because of FGM,
mm-hmm.
the advocacy. But later, after they were released from jail, the president banned FGM, and we have the Women's Act 2013 and an amendment to the Children's Act 2005 to ban all harmful traditional practice against women and girls, which we celebrate in a very colorful and joyous way.
I'm sure.
But before that, these two women that I talk about make an effort for circumcisers to be dropping their knife in a very colorful celebration.
Mm-hmm. So this is a major achievement for the country.
It's a major achievement for
and
the
for
country.
And for women, yes.
And for women.
Yes.
And we also have the Domestic Violence Act. We have the Sexual Offences Act. Combined with the Constitution, we are right to go.
So it's no surprise then that the Gambia has been described as one of the leading peace countries or peaceful countries or a leader in the region for peace.
Yes, my dear. Believe me, before the 1981 abortive coup, I, sitting before you, cannot even tell you what a guns look like, neither the sound. We were enjoying an uninterrupted peace and stability in that country.
Mm-hmm.
You will not even recognize who is a Christian or who is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
We live together. Mm-hmm. We intermarried. We enjoy feasts together. When there is Muslim fest, you think that the whole country is Muslim. When it is Christmas, you think that the whole countries are Christian. So because of that interrupted peace that we are enjoying, that inspired the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And when anywhere that we are taken for peacekeeping mission, we do leave a footprint behind
mm-hmm.
that any other peacekeepers can emulate.
And that brings me to your role at the Joan B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice at the University of San Diego, that you're here in residence for a number of weeks. What are the messages that you can pass to us in America about peacekeeping? We have the cultural challenges and the racial challenges here. What can we learn from the Gambia?
You know, in peacekeeping, you need to identify the conflict issues within a community. Like if you want to work with women and children, first identify what are the women and child protection issues within that community. Know their culture. Observe their behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Localize it to their level.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get to know them
mm-hmm.
and do your work peacefully. And believe me, if you do it in that way, you will succeed.
Oh, that's wonderful advice for us
you,
all.
Yes, you should be belonging.
Yes, yeah.
Build up the trust force. It is not, I always say, it's mine to give, but not yours to take.
That's a major rule that
yes.
For all of us
it's,
to learn.
It's always on peacekeeping, it's always mine to give, but not yours to take.
And if we could understand that, a lot of relationships it's, would change.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what we need to do in anywhere that we go to, not the policies that are in place.
Mm-hmm.
The policies are instruments,
mm-hmm.
but your action, your interaction, your belongings bring the word policies to whatever you wanted to do.
And speaking of those policies, there are potential changes for the Gambia with regard to the government, I think, in your near future. Am I correct about that?
Yes, you know, coming to this new Gambia, a lot has changed.
Mm-hmm.
People feel at ease. All the fears in us has flown away to a place that we don't want to meet them again.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody have the confidence that you have the right to contribute
mm-hmm.
to nation building. You have the right to empower one another in order to make our country a safe haven
mm-hmm.
for every living human being.
Again, there are some wonderful concepts that arise in your country. You're a small country, but I understand a very beautiful country. Can you describe it to us just so that, because it's not known to many of us, and I'd love to give you to give a picture of the Gambia.
The Gambia is a small country in the corner of the west,
mm-hmm.
between the nose and the cheek, like a tongue, in the mouth, along the Atlantic Ocean,
mm-hmm.
the River Gambia, beautiful beaches, smile faces. Anywhere you go to, everybody is smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Even with pain, you see the smile.
Mm-hmm.
Very peaceful, sociable environment, acceptable, welcoming anybody
mm-hmm.
that is coming in for peace and stability.
Mm, yeah.
That's the Gambia, my motherland.
And I can see that shows in your face and in your eyes as I'm talking to you. So did you feel welcomed when you came to the United States? I know this is not your first visit. Did you feel and do you feel welcome here? And do you think that you're able to pass on many of your messages? And in return, will you take tools and ideas back from your time here to the Gambia?
Yes, this is my second visit in America. But the first one, I would say, is a visit because I met my family. I went to visit my sister. But this is the real time that I came to America. And I'm going to talk about the community of California.
Mm-hmm.
When I came, I feel so belonging.
Mm-hmm.
I feel the freedom that I have. I feel that now it is true that we have people who are genuine,
mm-hmm.
who really feel that we have a message to tell them and they believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Finding myself in that environment, I am very belonging, and I know America is a world of itself.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What do you mean by that? It's a world of itself.
Because the picture of America that we have, we thought America emphasized their powers onto the world, make themselves superpower, that they are not people that are acceptance. The only thing they know is we are great, we are above everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to Africa, when I came to America, it's another picture of America that I see.
Good.
And I am telling to people, come to America and feel belonging.
Oh, that's
every story, how little it is, it contributes and change life of millions. Because they are the mouthpiece, then we voice out and never look behind to tell real stories to people for them to believe it and change their life.
That's a wonderful way to put that. And I'm glad that you've seen that America is more about its people than perhaps it is about its government. That's always important for many of us to know you understand. So very sadly, we've come to the conclusion of our conversation. But before we finally conclude, would you just express something in your own language and then tell us what you said in the way of a farewell to this conversation?
I will say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. My Gambian people, women of the Gambia, children of the Gambia, participate, support me, and that is Kailen Nuligay Bolo Moy Dole. Come forward, let us come together. Togetherness is power.
And on that note, thank you, Yamandao Jungju from the Gambia, for talking with us today.
You are welcome.